Ecclesiastes chapter 7 tonight, if you would. We must know the same guy, because I know a guy who can too. Amen. And he's done it in my life, and he can do it in yours as well. Ecclesiastes 7, welcome back to church. As we said earlier, good to be back in the Lord's house on a Sunday night. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if you would. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking that the changes that have taken place in our country, and I'm not going to be preaching on that, but I was thinking about the fact that it makes me heartsick when I look at what's going on in our country, and it makes me heartsick for what's happening to our country. But one of the other things that kind of breaks my heart is the fact that my kids, and in particular my grandkids especially, if the Lord tarries is coming, aren't going to know the country that I knew. That aren't going to grow up in the country that I grew up in. And some of you are older than I am, but the country that I grew up in, you know, the Bible was still important. Of course, people find it hard to believe that in public school, you know, the teachers used to read the Bible at open class. And what do they call it when you start in the morning? Homeroom. There you go. Been a while. Homeroom. Homeroom. It was not unusual for the teacher to open the day in prayer in public school. You know, and that was normal. That was a normal thing. No one would have ever thought to sue the school to get that stopped, because people were smart enough to know how important that was. Matter of fact, if you tried to sue the school, that you might have disappeared. I don't know, because things were different back then. Church was important. You know, people actually got married and stayed married. You could let your kids out, and they could run all day, and you never had to worry about where they are or what was going to happen to them. You know, you didn't have to worry about any of that. And it's different, isn't it, today? And I don't know about you, but I kind of long for the way it used to be. I think about my grandkids and the kids today. You know, when I was growing up, you know, back in the olden days, kids were free to be kids. You just be a kid. You were free to ride without a bike helmet. You were free to ride without knee pads. You were free to swing on a swing that was never anchored down, and so the legs always flew this high off the ground whenever you swung. And your parents didn't put little plastic things in the electrical outlets, and they never put any rubber stuff on corners. You were just on your own, man. They may have been out to get us. I don't know, but you were just free to be a kid and enjoy yourself. And today, you know, second graders are scared to death that the ocean's going to rise and they're going to drown. You know, and we've got the little children. We're trying to make them make the decision about whether they're a boy or a girl. And it's just horrible, isn't it, the way things are. And I wish we could go back in a lot of ways and look back and go back to the past. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, how that can be a good thing, but oftentimes it's not, thinking too much about the past. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, hey, let me give you some good news. I have half the notes I normally have. Now, that may mean something, or it may mean nothing, but I have about half the notes that I normally have. So we'll see what that means. Now, something's wrong in your life if you're thinking, boy, I hope he gets done really early. That means you don't care about the Word of God, all right? So there's something wrong in your life, all right? Ecclesiastes 7. I remember back when people used to not care about stuff like that. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go into the house of mourning, to a funeral, we might say today, than to go to the house of feasting. Better to go to a funeral than a party. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of a wise is in the house of mourning, and the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. It's better to hear rebuke than praise. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. That also is vanity. We understand tonight that when you put thorns under a pot, it may burn hot for a few moments and make a lot of noise, but there's no real heat there, no real value, because they burn so quickly. Verse 7, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Oppression makes a just man angry when he sees people oppressed, and a gift, which means a bribe, destroys the heart. Makes us angry as a just person when we see bribery taking place. Verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. If you know anybody who has an anger problem, you should read that to them. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. In verse 10, say thou not, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Notice what Solomon says about this. For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. He says it's not wise to think too much about the past in the wrong way. Here's our title for tonight. Watch where you're going, not where you're coming from. Watch where you're going, not where you're coming from. All right? Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in praise or prayer. Brother Sullivan, I want you to lead us in prayer. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As always, watch where you're going, not where you're coming from. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, we're just going to kind of jump. There's not a lot of context here to get into, which is one of the reasons why my notes are a little bit shorter. We usually focus a lot on context. And when you're dealing with verses in Ecclesiastes, a lot of times there's not a lot of context to get into. And so we're just kind of going to jump into it in verse 10. But in verse 10, we see this prohibition against looking back. He says, say thou not. What is the cause that the former days were better than these? And Solomon makes a straightforward prohibition. He says, say thou not. You don't need a Hebrew dictionary to grasp what Solomon is saying. Don't say this. Don't have this attitude. Don't have this mentality. Don't go around all the time saying, it used to be much better. The days in the past are better. I like when you're, if you're like me, I used to love to regale my children with stories of my past, you know, because I knew they were interested in that sort of thing, the stories of my past. Hey, what good's having kids if, number one, you can't tease and torment them, and number two, if you can't make them do all the work you don't want to do, like take out the trash, and then thirdly, what good's having kids if you can't regale them with stories of your past, amen, and how great it used to be when you were growing up. And so I used to love to do that, but Solomon says, say thou not that the former days were better. If you notice in verse 10, it says this, say thou not, what is the cause of the former days were better than these? The word these in context is obviously referring to the days in which we now live or in the days in which a person now is. And so Solomon said, don't say that the things used to be better than they are now today. Don't go around saying that all the time. Now obviously there's more to this verse than that simple prohibition because there were things in the past that are better than today. Let's be honest, there were things in the past that are worse than they are today, but there are also things in the past that were better. So we know Solomon is obviously not making that simple statement, don't ever say things were better in the past, because there were things that were better in the past. Now to press the point, he says this in verse 10. He says that this kind of inquiry about better or worse in the past in relationship today, this kind of inquiry, this kind of looking back is not wise. He says, it's not wise to do this. At the end of verse 10, he says, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Now, the word wise means more than just smart. Solomon's not simply saying, it's not smart to do this. It isn't smart to do this. But that's not what Solomon's saying specifically. The word wise that's used here means to be skillful in wisdom. And we understand in the wisdom books, Psalm, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, that wisdom most oftentimes refers to the use of God's word, the application of God's word. Knowledge is the knowing of God's word. Wisdom is the use of God's word, knowing how to use it. And Solomon says this, that if we go around inquiring about why the past was always better and always thinking about how much better the past was, Solomon says that we're not being very skillful in the use of God's word or an understanding of God's word. We're not being very skillful in the use of wisdom. And you can think about it this way. Someone who is mature, here's what Solomon's saying. Someone who is mature or skillful in the use of the Word of God should know better than to constantly look to the past as better. Again, understanding that there are things in the past that were better. But there is a context in which Solomon says it's not wise to go around. It shows spiritual immaturity or lack of wisdom concerning the Word of God to constantly go around talking about how the past was in some context better than it is today. With me so far, than these days. Now, let's ask this question. Is there anything wrong with remembering the past? No, absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with remembering the past. After all, we can learn a lot from the past. Doesn't the New Testament tell us that these things, in reference to the Old Testament, are recorded for our learning? And so God records much of the past. A lot of the New Testament looks back to the past, and we learn from that and grow from that as we do so. And there are things in my past that I can look back and learn from. There's plenty of things in my past that I can look back to and say, never doing that again, all right, because I've learned from that and I remember that. And so there's nothing wrong with remembering the past because we can learn from it. And let's also think about this. In our lives, there are some great things that have happened in our past. There's great things that have happened in my past, in my life. Of course, the most amazing, wonderful, terrific, thrilling thing that ever happened in my past was meeting my wife and getting married. Everybody say, ah, ah, yeah. And so that's the most amazing thing that ever happened to me, of course, in my past. So some great things have happened in my past. Of course, I got saved. And in all seriousness, that's, I love my wife, but that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, was getting saved and coming to know Christ as my Savior. There's some other great things that have happened in my life. You know, God saved me. We got in church, began to learn and grow in the things of the Lord. Our children's birth, our grandchildren. There's a lot of things in the past that have been great things that have happened in my life. I look back, amazing things that God has done in my life, blessings He's brought my way, answers to prayer. There's a lot of great things. Nothing wrong with remembering those things. There are things that have happened in my life I don't want to forget. And I don't want to be told I can't think about those things. It's not wrong to look back in remembrance and to learn, or especially to look back and remember spiritual things and the blessings of God in our life. That's a lot of what singing is and praising is. It's remembering what God has done in our past. But generally speaking, let me give you this. Generally speaking, there are two things we ought to always remember when looking back, because there is a context in which we got to be careful looking back. And this is kind of a general statement, or two general statements about looking back. There's a couple of things we need to remember and always keep in mind whenever we start thinking about how it used to be, how amazing it once was, how great it once was. First of all, number one, time always has a way of improving the past. Amen. Time always has a way of improving the past. Another way of saying it is this. We tend to glamorize the good old days, don't we? We tend to glamorize the way. I'm pretty confident that things, I don't remember being as excited about my boyhood as I remember my boyhood when I was growing up. I don't quite remember when I was growing up. Matter of fact, when I was growing up, I thought, this is horrible. I'm never allowed to do anything. I can't do anything. All I got to do is work, and I got to do all these chores. That's what I remember thinking. And now I look back and I think, man, my childhood was so amazing and so wonderful. We tend to glamorize the past when we think about that. Is it still true in the military? I've mentioned this before, I think, from the pulpit, but I know when I was in many years ago, the old saying was, the two best bases you'll ever have in your entire career is the one you just left and the one you're going to. Isn't that true? Because you hated the one you were at until you got where you are. Now that you are where you are, all you can think about is how wonderful the base you came from was. And now all you can think about is how great it's going to be when I get to my next base, which when you get there, the one you came from is going to be the best base you ever came from. Because we tend to glamorize the past in our life. Time has a tendency to improve the past. Think about it in a kind of a practical everyday sense. You ever seen an old show? You ever come across an old show and you think to yourself, you know, this was a show I used to watch back in the good old days, back when TV was clean, you know, and movies were clean. And I ran across the show. I'm going to watch this. This is a good show. Man, I used to watch this all the time when I was a kid. It's the greatest show I ever watched. And then you find it somewhere and you think, I can't wait to watch it. So you buy this old black and white CD, you know, or whatever it is that come on, stone or whatever it is they have it on. And so you put this thing in and you start watching it. And about 5 minutes into it, you're going, this is ridiculous. I can feel my intelligence being sucked out through my brains. I can't believe I thought this was a great show. I must have had a mental problem back then or something. I've obviously gotten much smarter since then. And because we kind of glamorize things of the past, don't we? We think, boy, this is so amazing. You ever wait? I've done this. I've gone home and thought, boy, we used to eat at this place all the time. And Brother Chad, this place was amazing. And listen, kids, you're going to love it. So we go there, you know, and you sit there for a few minutes and go, what in the world was I thinking? This is horrible. Absolutely horrible. It was great when I was seven. But it's kind of horrible now. Because we tend, again, to glamorize the past. Sometimes the good old days aren't quite as good as we remember them, are they? Let me borrow you for a minute, Dalton. This won't be too embarrassing. How old are you, Dalton?
17.
17. You're 17, I'm not, all right? You have air conditioning in your house?
Yes, sir.
Your parents let you turn it on and use it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you have air conditioning in your house? You have no idea. Listen, you should have been around in the good old days, because you have no idea what you're missing. Because when I was growing up, we didn't have air conditioning. Nobody had air conditioning. And so we got to sleep with our windows open. And everybody had their own fan. And you got to lay in bed at night, sweating with hot, humid air blowing over you. You have no idea what you missed. Aren't you sad?
Nope.
You just bought a car. You got air conditioning in that?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah. See, again, I feel sorry for you, because you don't remember the past. When I was a kid, of course, back then, speed limits were like 85 and 90 on the interstate. Somebody say amen. It was like 85, 90 on the interstate. And so we didn't have, nobody had air conditioning in a car, and so we got to ride at 85 miles an hour with all the windows down, and that hot air in August would blow in and blow your hair all around, and you got to yell at each other because you couldn't hear. And then when you got where you're going, you had this beautiful red wind burn, and in about an hour, you could start hearing again. And you missed all that. You got a microwave in your house?
Yes, sir.
Oh, see, there you go. See, in the good old days, we got to turn, we had leftovers, we turned the oven on, and in 10 minutes, it would heat up. And then we would wrap our leftovers in foil, and just like that, in 45 minutes, our leftovers would be warmed up. You're longing for the old days, I can tell. You got a cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Oh, see? In the good old days, we had something called party lines, and they were fun. Because like 5, 8, 10 houses would all be on one phone line. And whenever you want to make a phone call, all you had to do was wait until nobody else in those 10 houses were using the phone. And the really good thing about it is you know everything that was going on because anybody could pick up the phone and hear what you were saying. That's way better than a cell phone.
You look creepy.
Yeah. Church back then was way better because you got to sit on hard pews because nobody had padded pews. The church that I grew up in with my grandparents, we didn't have air conditioning. And it was great because everybody got their own funeral home fan. And it was way better in the good old days. Doesn't it sound like it? Longing to go back? See. Hey, I just had a funny thought. You know something else that was better about church back then than it is today? Christians were far better hydrated back then. Because people could actually go through an entire church service without needing a drink of water. How about that? You can take that for free, all right? But things were better back then. You know, when we look back, we always tend to focus on the good, don't we?
Right.
And minimize the bad. Because there were a lot of things back then. Listen, I can be honest with you. I don't miss party lines. I love air conditioning, all right? I don't like to use the word love very much because I think we use it too much. Because, you know, we love hamburgers and I love my wife. But I love my wife and I love air conditioning, all right? And so I like it in a car, all right? I have a love-hate relationship with my cell phone, but it is kind of handy to have, isn't it true? It's kind of handy when you have when your car breaks down, you have to walk 4 miles, try to find a payphone, and discover you don't have a quarter or a nickel or a dime. And so there are a lot of things that in the past that are better today, but we tend to look back and glamorize them. We talk about the good old days, and that's just silly examples tonight, but we tend to minimize those things and you know, that were bad or weren't as convenient then, and now we just think about the good old days. We kind of mindlessly throw out, boy, when I was growing up, it was great. And we don't think about all the things that, you know, it's kind of good today, a lot of things that we have in our life. And so time tends to improve all things. Time improves the past, and it's not wise to forget that. Because when you and I start making decisions based on the past, we need to remember that I probably don't remember things as great as they were. You know, when I start thinking about the way things used to be in my life and the way things used to happen, and, you know, we start thinking about the way it used to be, a lot of times it wasn't as good as we remember it because time tends to improve the past. And the second thing you always want to remember about looking back is this. It is that the one thing in life that never changes is that everything in life is always changing. All right? The one thing in life that never changes is that everything in life is always changing. You know what that means, don't you? That means that time and people are not static. Static means unmoving. Time and people are not static or unchanging. We always tend to look to the past as something that's static and unchanging, like people and time is frozen somehow, and everything is just like it used to be. This is especially true when we've been gone away from home, like in the military, or we've been gone a long time from home, or even ministry, when you're not home very much. We tend to fantasize about how great it would be to be back home. It'd be so wonderful to move back home and just be back. Let me help you with that. Go on vacation. Amen. Go home on vacation, then come back and say, it'd be wonderful to go home again. All right? We fantasize about the way things. I got to be careful because my mom's probably listening to this. But it's especially true when it comes to home. We have this dream, you know, that we're going to go home and it's going to be just like it was in the old days. But things and people have not stopped in time waiting on us to come back. Right. Just hasn't happened. We're to pick up where we left off. And while we were gone, listen, while we've been gone, they've changed. They're not the same they used to be. They're not the same people they used to be. They have changed. Sometimes for the better, say amen. Sometimes not so much for the better. And so they've changed. It's not like it once was. And let's be honest. Since we've been gone, we have changed. I'm not the same person I was when I left home. Praise the Lord. Not the same person I was when I left the house at 18, 19 to go in the military. I'm different today. Vastly different than I was back then. Not am I just older. and hopefully a little more mature, but I'm different. That's one of the biggest differences in us if you've gotten saved. Right. If you're saved tonight and you're serious about serving God, that's a huge change in your life.
Right.
If you've gotten saved since you left home and you've decided church is important to us and we're going to serve the Lord, that is a huge difference in our life. Makes a big difference in us. Let me give you another just simple, silly example, I guess, and that is this. You ever find an old show, again, from back in the days when TV was clean and movies were clean, and you think, this would be great to watch with my kids. This would be great to watch with my grandkids. And you sit down, you plug that thing in, you start watching it, and about 5 minutes into it, you're going, I don't remember that part. Or you start going, I didn't remember them talking like that. Now, let me ask you something. Did somebody sneak in and edit all that stuff in since you saw it last? No, it's always been there. So what's different? You're different. You didn't notice it back then, but now you notice it because now it's important to you. It's important to you what they're saying or what they're doing and what they're showing. Where back then it wasn't, because you've changed. And so time isn't static. It moves on and people change. And if you're saved tonight, we change. We should change because we're different now that we're in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn over there if you will. You know this verse already, most of you. But 2 Corinthians 5, we quote it all the time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
Old things are passed away. The way I once was, the way I used to be, that's fading away. And I'm becoming a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's foolish of us to think that we can go back and reclaim the past,
right,
having experienced the new birth in Christ, without understanding that we have changed and we're not the same as we used to be. Listen, there's a lot of things about home I love, but I'm different than I was back then. I have different priorities, different purpose. Christ is so much more important to me now than he ever was. What I believe is far different than what I used to believe or what some of them may believe. Things that are important to me are different doctrinally and so forth. And so we've changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's foolish to think about the past without remembering the difference that Christ has made in our life. And that we're different now than we used to be. Look over in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7. It says this, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we can make application. Paul's talking about some specific things in relationship to his life, but we can say this also in verse 7. There are things that ways I was different back then that I've shed, I've gotten rid of. I don't care about them anymore because my main concern is that I might know more about Jesus Christ and serve him and live for him. I don't have the same priorities, the same wants I used to. I don't have the same dreams I once had. I don't have the same desires I once did. I don't want the same thing in life that I did in the past. And so we've got to remember that time isn't static. Time moves on. And just because we think longingly about the past isn't what we remember it. Because things have changed and things move on. We may find that now our priorities, our worldview, our life is different than our old friends. Maybe different than our family. Maybe different from our parents. Maybe different from our brothers and sisters. Because our whole view of everything is different now. Because Christ makes such a vast difference in your life. And now it's different for us. Doesn't mean we can't have a relationship with them. We don't have to cut them off. All right, we need to honor them. But we need to understand that when we start making decisions based on how we remember the past, it's not the same. And they're not the same, and we're not the same. And so we've got to remember that about the past. So with that in mind, is Solomon saying it's wrong to look back? Well, of course not. He's not saying that it's wrong to look back. Back over in our text in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. Hey, we're moving right along. We're halfway through my notes. So when we get done tonight, you're going to be going, I long for the past. When he didn't get done till 7:30. All right, and you may get your wish. But an important part of Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10 is this. He says, what is the cause that the former days were better? That's an important word. The former days were better. The word better doesn't mean just better in quality. It means pleasant, enjoyable. He says, He says, it's not wise to look back on the past always thinking about how much better, how much more enjoyable my life was, how much more pleasure I had in life, how much more joy I had in life in the past. Now, there's a place to ask that, but if we're asking it for the purpose of improving my present, are you with me? Because if I don't have the joy I once did, I should be asking myself, what's wrong with me that I don't have the joy I once did? Because if you don't have the joy you once did, it's you. All right? It's not somebody else, it's you. Nobody has control over your feelings, it's you. You say, well, you understand what's happened to my life. No, I don't. But only you can control how you respond to those things. And so certainly we need to ask that question in the broad sense. And so Solomon is saying it's not wise to ask, why was I happier? Why did I have more joy, a closer relationship, a better marriage? Why did I serve God better? You know, and the thing about it is, the time that we tend to ask these questions, the time that we tend to look back on these things, is when things aren't going like I want them to in my present. Listen, when you're happy, when you're deliriously happy, everything's going great in your life, we don't tend to sit around going, oh, the past. Oh, the past. When do we tend to look back? When things aren't going well. When I watch the news now. I was talking about our country. When I watch the news now, when do I tend to look back at the way our country used to be when I watch the news now, and it discourages me and depresses me when I see how horrible it is now? It causes me to go, oh, the way it used to be. Oh, the way it used to be. Or when we have trouble in our life, that's when we tend to look back. During those times, it's during those problems. So it means, why was I happier? Why did I have more joy? Why was I closer to the Lord? Why have a better marriage back then? Those are the times that we tend to look back. Look over in the book of Job. We're pretty close here. Look over in the book of Job. In Job 29, Job does 25 verses of this. All of Job 29 is Job looking back. Job 29, we're not going to read all 25 verses. But look, if you would, in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable, saying, oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, when by his light I walked through the darkness. I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty God was yet with me, and when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured out rivers of oil, when things were so blessed. And when I went out the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, and the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up, and princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouths. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. He says, oh, I long for the days when I was respected. And he goes through 25 verses of looking back. Why is he looking back? Because right now he's dealing with all this suffering in his life. And for 25 verses, he laments for the days and the way things used to be. And that's when we tend to look back. Now, you got to keep all that in mind in context of Ecclesiastes 7:10. Solomon's not saying it's wrong to look back. Right. What he is saying is this. It's wrong to take the events of my life right now and have those cause me to look back without thought of what's going on in my life right now, that things aren't like they used to be. In other words, Solomon is saying this. It's not wise to look to the past and say, oh, I was much happier back then, and use that as an excuse or a justification for not addressing what might be going on in my life right now for why things aren't better than they used to be. Is that making sense to you? And that's what Job was doing. Job wasn't addressing what was going on with his attitude at that moment. All he was thinking about is, oh, I wish it was like it used to be. But he's not addressing his attitude. God comes along and adjusts his attitude as we get farther into the book. God comes along and says, who do you think you are? And he adjusts his attitude. But Job in Job 29 is going through 25 verses lamenting of, oh, I was so happy back then. I was so happy back then, but never addressed what's going on in my heart right now that's got me thinking this way. And so that's what he means by the fact that we have to be careful looking back. It's not wrong to remember the good of the past and the blessings of God in the past, those things that I learned in the past. But it's not wise to excuse or overlook the failures of the present by pointing to the past. The days or the circumstances. Boy, if it was today just like it was back then, if my circumstances were today just like it was back then, well, then I'd be happy. Well, then I'd have joy. Well, I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be. But if things were like they were back then, well, then I would be close to the Lord. You know, our church doesn't seem like to be like it used to be. Oh, if it was just like it used to be back then, well, then it'd be so much better and so much greater. And Solomon says it's not wise to do that and not address the fact that maybe there's an issue with me in the present. And we can sometimes get so busy looking back that we never address what's going on in the moment in our life, in our present, in our life. It might just be that the past having, it might just be that having moved on from the past is not what's wrong. It might just be the reason I don't have the joy I used to be is me. Is this making sense to us?
Yes.
I used to be happy in the Lord in the past, but never asking why in the present I'm not. I had more joy in the past, but rather than seeing the problem in my present, simply pointing to the past. I'm not happy with church. I'm not happy with my marriage. I'm not happy with my life. I'm not happy with my job. I'm not happy with this or that, without ever asking the question, what's wrong with me now? We always do this at work, don't we, in jobs? Boy, you know, if I only had my former boss, if my job was just the way it used to be. Listen, there's a reason why I call it J-O-B and not vacation. Because jobs are jobs. It's always stressful in the workplace. It's always going to be work in the workplace. This fantasy idea of I'm going to find this job and it's going to be like utopia. If you find one of those, write a book so we all know how to find that same job. Because it's not going to be that way. The only way you can get through that kind of stuff is make Christ your priority. And start looking at work as the place where you go to earn money to eat. And your job is just what you do to survive. Christ is your life. Amen. And serving Him and doing His will. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand my job. Listen, I used to work out in the world. I've had some crummy jobs. I've had some lousy bosses. I've had some jobs that I thought, this is not my favorite place. All right? But you know how I got through it? I didn't go home every day going, I never tried it ruin my joy. Because I always tried to keep in mind, this is where I work. This is not my life. It doesn't define my life. It's not who I am. It's where I go to get money so my wife can eat and I can eat. So we can eat and sleep indoors. All right? I don't look back all the time and go, oh, this job. And Solomon is saying this. He says, it's not wise to live that way. To be always looking back when things aren't going like you want in your life, to always go looking back and think, well, it's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. Solomon says, a wise man says, wait a minute, there's one common denominator in all this. It's me. It's me. Maybe there's something wrong in my present that's the real problem in my life. Now, let me give you this. We can't change the past, can we? Oh, come on, say amen. That's a safe bet right there. We can't change the past. The other thing that's true is, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. We can't change the past. We have no control whatsoever over tomorrow. We don't have any knowledge over tomorrow. So, as the old saying goes, this is not rocket science, you know. The only thing we can control is what? The present. That's all I can control is what's happening today. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't look forward. It doesn't mean as God's people shouldn't plan. But I am saying this, I have no control over tomorrow. We can plan all you want, but we may not even be here tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to take place tomorrow. So I can't change anything in the past. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's things that happened in my past, Brother Chad, that I have fretted over and fretted over and fretted over, and it never changed a thing. There's things in my past that I laid awake night worrying about, and I found that it didn't have any effect on it whatsoever. And there's things that I can worry about tomorrow, and I can't do a thing in the world about what's going to happen tomorrow. The only thing I can affect is how I respond to things today. So Solomon says, why go around constantly talking about how much better it used to be, how much better it used to be, when that has absolutely no impact on anything? What I need to focus on is the moment,
right. The
present. That's exactly what Christ said. You know, in the Beatitudes, Christ said, I can't remember the exact wording on it, but Christ said, you know, that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Focus on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Tomorrow's problems will take care of themselves. Right? I can't fix tomorrow's problems. I can't live tomorrow on today's grace. I have to wait until tomorrow gets here, and then Christ will help me deal with it. And so what I have to do is live for the moment I'm in. And I don't mean live for the moment like the world uses it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying live for the moment, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm saying we have, when it comes to being happy, when it comes to our Christian walk, when it comes to our saved life, we need to live for the present. Now, in the text of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, let me give you this, and we will be finished in a little bit. Ecclesiastes 7. No, I don't think it'll take long in all seriousness. Ecclesiastes 7. You shouldn't take so much joy in getting done early. There's something not right about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, rather than focusing on the past, Solomon says that we should focus on the present. And in verses 1 through 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon gives us 9 betters. There are nine better. This is known as the better passage of Ecclesiastes. There are nine betters in this text. And it's interesting that Solomon goes through these nine betters. And then he ends in verse 10 when he says, don't focus on the past. What's he saying? Focus on being better in the present. That ought to be our focus. Focus on being better. Don't worry about... Now notice what he says. Don't ask why were the former days better. Focus on you being better in the present. Because I can't change the past. I can't do anything to affect the future. Or I can't know what's going to be on the future. And so why not focus on being better in our text? Now these things, there's none of these things that are difficult or hard to understand. That's why my notes are a little bit shorter, because I didn't have to go into a great deal of detail about any of them. But I want you to know the first of these nine betters in our text. The first of those is in verse 1. First of all, rather than focusing on the past, it's better to live in such a way as to have a good name and a good testimony today. Look what he says in verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. He says, rather than sitting around bemoaning how things aren't as good as they used to be, and rather than bemoaning about how the job I used to have and the base I used to be at and the life I used to have and the job I used to have and the way things used to be, rather than doing all that, Solomon says, you can't fix any of that. You can't change any of that. So rather than that, focus on having a better testimony for Christ. Focus on having a better name today. It is better to have a good name than to focus constantly on the way things used to be and how you wish that the way things used to be is the way they are now. Well, they're not. You can't do anything about that. So we should focus on having a better name today and a better testimony today. And so he says, rather than focusing on the past, it's better to live in such ways to have a good name and a good testimony. Instead of thinking about how things used to be and blaming others for why it isn't, focus on being known as a godly man or a godly woman. Focus on being known as a spiritually mature person. Focus on having a good name at work and a good name in our neighborhood and a good name among our family. Being known as a godly person. Be known as a person who has a good testimony for responding to the present. My job isn't all I want, or my work isn't all I want, or my finances, all the past. No, Solomon says, stop that. Learn how to respond to those things in the present rather than pointing to the past. Learn to respond to them in such a way that people will look at you in the present and go, that is a godly man. That is a godly woman. That is a spiritually mature person, because they're not bemoaning the way things used to be. They're responding to the present in such a way that they have a good name.
Right.
Solomon says at the end of that verse, he says, better is a man's the time of a man's death than his birth. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? You mean I should sit around saying, I can't wait to die, because that's way better than the day I was born. We chuckle, but if you focus constantly on the past, that may be your attitude. Better to just be gone than have to live in this life. That's not what Solomon's saying. Solomon's saying the day of our death is better in context with a good name, because between our birth and our death, we have the opportunity to accumulate a good name, so that on the day of my death, I can hope to die and have people say, that was a godly man. That was a godly person. They loved the Lord. You see, when you're born, you don't have a name, do you? I'm talking about a testimony. And so it's between birth and death that we accumulate that name. And rather than worrying about how things used to be and how unhappy I am and how this is not what I want and that's not what I want and this is not how I want and I'm not where I want, instead of doing all of that, he says between birth and death, focus on a good name. Mm-hmm. So if you have a job you don't like, or you get dealt this thing you don't want to deal with, or your finances aren't what you want, everything may not be what I want, but instead of complaining and griping and talking about how it used to be, he says be known as a person who responds to the present in a godly way. Have a good testimony, a godly testimony. So that on the day of your death, people can stand around your casket, which is kind of creepy, by the way, but they can stand around your casket and say, I say this much, that was a godly person. I worked with them, and I tell you what, when I saw how they responded to things in their life and how they responded to work and how they responded to financial setback and how they responded to things in their life, you know, a lot of people sit around and talked about how it used to be and how they hated this, but they were always godly in the way they responded to the present. Solomon says, make that your goal, to be better in the moment. You with me? Yeah. Secondly, rather than constantly focusing on the past, focus on, first of all, being a better person in the moment. And then secondly, rather than focusing on the past and dreaming of how it once was, rather focus on living a serious life. a life focused on the serious issues of life. Look what he says in verse 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of fasting or feasting. For that is the end of all men. And the living will lay that to his what? To his heart. He says in verse 2, it's better, to use it in our terminology, it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. Now he's not saying that literally. Nothing wrong with going to a party, the right kind of party. All right. But what he's saying is this, that he says we should live life in the present, understanding that death is the end of all people. Life is serious stuff. You only have so many years to be married, to raise children, to live our single life, whatever it may be. We only have so many years to live, and we need to be serious about life. Doesn't mean we can't have a good time, does it? Doesn't mean we can't do some stuff that's fun or enjoy ourselves a little bit. But life is serious business. We've only got so many years. It's going by quickly. And we've got so much time to serve the Lord. And he says in verse 2, it's better to go to the house of mourning. It's better to be reminded of the seriousness of life. It's better to be reminded that my life's not always going to continue on as it is. That one of these days, I'm going to face the end of all men. I'm going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. And what I've done with my life at that moment is going to be far more important than my thinking about how amazing it used to be in the past. Live in the present, understanding the seriousness of life. You can't live in the seriousness of life if you're always looking back and longing for the way things used to be. He says, remember how serious life is. Listen, raising a family is serious business. Keeping your marriage together is serious business. Serving God in the church, married or single, that's serious business serving the Lord. It's serious business living in single today and trying to be godly in the day that we live in. That's serious business. What you're going to do as a young person with your life is you're transitioning from childhood to adulthood. That's serious business. Decisions during that time. Who am I going to marry? Am I going to marry? Where am I going to work? What am I going to do? Has God called me into the ministry? Or does God want me to do something else? That's serious stuff. And Solomon says, it's better, instead of looking back at the past, to think and remember how serious life is in the present, in the moment. It's another reason why we shouldn't let too many things get to us that don't matter. You know, our job is where we work. It don't matter. It's just where we pay bills. The serious stuff takes place in our house. Our serious stuff takes place in the house of God. That's where the serious stuff takes place. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't have all the money I want or all the stuff I want. Hey, welcome to the I don't have all I want club. All right? I don't either. But you know, most of that stuff, it don't matter.
Amen.
You know why I know it matter? Because if it mattered, I'd have it. God give it to me. It don't matter in the big scheme of things. Live for the seriousness of the moment. Have a good time. Say amen.
Amen.
But don't ever forget. Don't get so busy longing for the past and whining for why your life is not everything you want it to be. Remember, this is serious business. You're burning up time worrying about the past.
Right.
And Solomon says we should live in the seriousness of life. Listen, people need to be saved. Our children need to know about Christ. We need to be busy in the house of God in one of the most difficult times, I think, in American history to serve the Lord. We need to be serious about these things. And always remembering, we don't have time to waste. Serious stuff. Thirdly, rather than focusing on the past and dreaming of how it once was, focus on living a life that uses disappointment and sorrow not as an excuse to look back, but to become stronger in Christ. Let me say that again because it was kind of long and wordy. Rather than focusing on the past and dreaming of how it once was, rather focus on living life that uses disappointment and sorrow not as an excuse to look back, but for a reason to become stronger in Christ. Look what he says in verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter. Isn't that a strange statement? Sorrow is better than laughter. Here's why. For by sadness, the countenance of the heart is made what? Better. You know, the reality is that we're normally not improved by good things. We're improved by trial and struggle and sorrow. You know, most people don't receive tremendous blessings from God, great things from God, and say, it changed my life. I am the man I am today because of all the money God gave me. I am the man I am today because God finally gave me this brand new pickup truck. I am the man I am today because all the great stuff God has done in my life. That's why I am the man I am today. Now, we hopefully enjoy the blessings of God, but the truth is most of us would say this, I am the man I am today because this horrible thing that I would never have chosen for myself came into my life. Solomon says, instead of when those things come into our life, things of sadness and sorrow, instead of looking back and going, oh, I wish it was the way it used to be. I wish it was the way it used to be. I wish it was the way it used to be. Instead of doing that, Solomon says, use those times to grow closer to the Lord, stronger in prayer, greater in faith. Instead of wasting that, because when you endure sorrow and grief and you don't grow stronger in Christ, you've just wasted it. Instead of wasting it, longing and wishing it was different or wishing it was like it used to be, he says, use that time to grow stronger in the Lord, closer to Christ, stronger in prayer, greater in faith, more trusting of Him, greater confidence in His providence. Take advantage of the present rather than longing for the past. Amen? Well, preacher, you understand, this thing's in my life. I get it. Life is tough. It is. And so I've got two choices. I can sit around and long for the past, which will do nothing for me except depress me. Because when you focus on the past in times of sorrow and it can't do a thing to affect your present, you can't do a thing to change the past, it's just depressing. But when you think to yourself, this is coming to my life, and you know what? You know what? It's going to cause me to spend more time in God's Word. It's going to cause me to spend more time in prayer. It's going to drive me closer to Christ. A wise man, wise woman uses that in their life in the present. Amen? You with me?
Amen.
Where are we? Fourthly, rather than focusing on the past and dreaming of how it once was, rather focus on living a life that's concerned about more than having a good time. That's concerned about more than focusing on self. Let me read it one more time. Rather than focusing on the past and dreaming how it once was, focus on living a life that's concerned about more than having a good time or focusing on self. In verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. He says, a wise man lives his life, as we saw earlier, concerned about the serious issues of life. He says, the foolish person who always worries about the past lives their life from one good time to another. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. I think we ought to have, something's wrong with us, God's people, if we don't have a good time. All right? We ought to have a good time in God's house. We ought to have a good time. As a matter of fact, most of our good times should be around God's people. Amen. Our family, our safe family, and God's people should be where the bulk of our good time is. I can't have a good time with lost people anymore because we're diametrically opposed to each other. It's not that I hate them or I don't like them, it's just that we don't have anything in common. And so my good time should be around, and I think we should have a good time. But life is not about having a good time. That's one of the side benefits. But he says we should focus, we shouldn't spend our time in the present thinking about the past, focusing on self and nothing but having a good time. We shouldn't live this, we should live our life concerned about more than that. You know, there are people that you work with and that you know and I know and hopefully nobody in this room, their whole purpose in life is to one of these days buy an RV. Drive around the countryside. That's their whole purpose in life, their whole function in life. That's why there's so many RVs parked under covers and right next to houses, because most people get tired of that after a while. That's why these five bass boats sitting everywhere. We don't seem to understand this is for free. You should always remember that some stuff is fun because you don't get to do it very often. When you get to do it all the time, it's not fun anymore. Go rent an RV. All right, and it'll be more fun. If you ever, let me, one more free financial advice while we're on the matter. If you ever think about buying a big RV, let me help you out. Go to the bank, get out about $2,500 in $5 bills, and drive down the road, and every 3 miles, throw a $5 bill out the window. All right? And after a couple miles, you'll begin to say, maybe an RV isn't a good idea. After all, free financial advice. We're a full service church, all right? But we should strive. Listen, life, we want to have a good time, but life is not about focusing on self and having a good time. It's about living about serious issues and for God and the things of the Lord in the present. We can't sit around going, oh, I used to have a good time. It used to be so much fun. You know, we used to go do this and we used to go do that. Well, praise the Lord if it was good, clean stuff. But we can't sit around going, now my life is miserable. No, we focus primarily on serving Him. And we have a good time as a result of that. You with me? He says we should live the present, not focusing on, concerned with nothing but having a good time and focusing on self. Some people, all they do, listen, and there's no problem with a vacation. Lord willing, I'm going to take one in November, so there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. But some people live just to go and do, and that's all they live for. And that is empty. It's fun in the moment, but it's empty when it comes to eternity. Nothing, let me say it again. I don't want anybody to confuse. I don't want anybody leaving there going, preacher said that I'm not spiritual if I take a vacation. Well, I'm not spiritual because I'm going to try to take one in November, all right? So I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but we can't live for that. We do those things so that we can come back and live for Christ and everybody won't be around us, won't be grouchy anymore. That's why we do those things, right? So we can come back and serve Him. Then fifthly, rather than focusing on the past and dreaming of how it once was, rather focus on living a life that's unafraid of correction and that's unafraid of reproof, especially when it makes me stronger spiritually or makes me better for the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 5. We're not going to get done early. I don't want to tell you that right up front. Verse 5. It's better to hear rebuke, the rebuke of the wise, than for a man to hear the song of fools. It's better to hear rebuke than to have somebody go around telling you how wonderful you are all the time. Or to tell you how you never do anything wrong or you weren't wrong when you were. He says, rather than sitting around remembering the past and thinking about how happy my life used to be, now, you know, I'm in this job and the boss is rebuking me because I messed up. Or I go to church and now I get rebuked for this and rebuked for that. Boy, I remember when, you know, I used to go to this place and I never had to deal with any of that. Psalmist says, it's better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than it is to hear empty praise. So we should live our life in the present in such a way that we're willing to hear rebuke, godly rebuke. Now, we don't like to hear godly rebuke. Do we? I didn't say live in the present a life that loves to hear rebuke, because that's not in our nature. Nobody in here, I don't think, says, nor in anything else. I just love it when people come and tell me I'm wrong. I love it when people come and tell me that what I'm doing isn't right. No, but we should live the type of life in the present that values that.
Yeah.
That says, I don't like to hear it, and it makes me uncomfortable, but I realize I need it. Or I can sit around talking about how, well, you know, this person said this to me and I used to have friends that never did that. Well, live in the present a life that's willing to receive rebuke. Where are we, 6? 7, 6? Rather than focusing on the past and dreaming about how it once was, focus on not living a goofy life, right? Focus on living a goofy life. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, for the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This is also vanity. This is empty. Focus on the present, not living an empty, goofy life. You know how many people in our country today live a goofy, empty life? If you spend half your day gaming, you're living a goofy, empty life. You spend half your day sitting in front of the television, having your brain sucked out through your eyeballs, you're living a goofy life. It's vanity. It's empty. Nothing wrong with doing some of those things in moderation. But life is too precious to live it for goofy things, silly things. It's just absolutely silly to sit in front of a game system for 3/4 of your day. Well, some of you agree. It's absolutely amazing. All right, and it's just not that. It's all the other goofy stuff that we do. It's just as goofy to sit week after week in front of a television watching some sports program. There's too much stuff to do. Too many important things to do that. Nothing wrong with watching a game every now and then. I don't know how you do it now because I can't get past who those guys are. I have trouble watching a guy play ball who kneels during the national anthem. I just can't do it. And I think they're overpaid and they're spoiled and there are a whole lot of other things and it just spoils it all for me. But if you can do that, put up with all of it, nothing wrong with that. But that's not what life is. We don't live our life in the present with goofy, senseless, empty things. Solomon says, this is vanity. It's vanity. We should do important stuff like shoot guns. And amen. And hunt and kill stuff. Important stuff like that. Get meat on the table for my family. I mean, that's what we should be doing. 7. Rather than living in the past, live a just life today. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and the gift destroyeth heart. He says, injustice should bother us. Strive to live a just life. Be just in your own life. Be fair. Be equitable. Be just with people. Pay your bills. Amen. Honor your commitments. Deal with people justly. That all goes back to verse 1. Have a good name. Rather than longing and about why I'm not happy today and how things used to be, he says live for the present. Live a just life. And then verse 8, eighthly, rather than focusing on the past, focus today on living a patient life. Some of you need to highlight this verse. Live a patient life. Look what it says in verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. He says, you know what we need to do instead of longing? Why aren't things like they used to be? And I'm just so sick of this because things are this way and that way and they used to be this way and they used to be that way. Psalmist says, hey, just stop it. Focus on being present or patient in the moment. And remember, the end of a thing is always better than the beginning. You know what that means? There's going to be times in the process of life and in the process of things in your life that it's not going to go like you want it to. And it's not going to go at the speed that you want it to. But if you'll stay in God's will and be patient, the end will be just fine. God always promises that the end will be well. He never says anything about the ride in between. For that, we have to be patient and trust Him. Focus on living a patient life instead of whining about how it used to be and the way things used to be and the way things should be and the way you want them to be. Be patient in life. And then, ninthly, verse 9, last one, focus, rather than focusing on the past and thinking about how the way things are, don't only learn to be patient in life, not only focus in the present on being patient in life, but focus in the present on being patient with others. Look what he says in verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. When we get angry and impatient with people, we say dumb stuff. Yes. Amen. He says, focus on the present and being patient with people, the people around you. Because that's what's important, isn't it? It's the people around us. It's not the way it used to be and the way things used to be. What's important are the people that are in my life right now. And we ought to practice and work at living a life in the present that's patient with people, that's long-suffering and kind toward people. That's hard. Amen? Because if everybody would do things like I think they should be done, it wouldn't be a problem. But people don't always do things the way I think they should be done, the right way. And so it can cause me to be impatient with people. And sometimes we get angry with people. Yes, you do. We get angry with people. We could go on all day about people are different today. It's just different. People used to be more polite and people used to be more. Stop living in the past. Live in the present. People are irritating today. Right? They're impatient. They're rude. The rudest time I've ever lived in my life. They're rude and unthankful and mean-spirited. So I can either sit around and go, well, people didn't used to be this way. I just don't care. If they're going to be that way, then I'm going to be that way. No, Solomon says, don't focus on the past. Focus in the present on being patient with people. Because all nine of these really go back, do they not, to verse 1? Live in the present to have a good name. And what do we mean by a good name? Not a name that I can strut around going, I'm a good person. Everybody knows I'm a good person. And they're going to stand around my casket one of these days, and Brother Collins, and say, what a good person I am. Of course, they will, Brother Collins, as well. Standing and talking about what a great person, people we were. That's not what it's all about. It's about having a good name so that it might reflect on my Savior. Amen. Because what I would really rather hear is he was a godly man. She was a godly woman who loved the Lord. And even in the stress at work and the problems in life and the trials they went through and the things they went through, they always lived in the present in the power of their Savior. And they always lived in relationship to their present in the power of their Lord. Solomon says, it's better to focus on the present in these nine things than it is to go around all the time going, oh, I wish, oh, I wish. Why can't it be? I wish it was this way. I wish it was that way. I wish this was different and that was different. Solomon says, hey, how about getting back to the only thing you can do anything about? And that's how you respond to the present. That's true. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would?